All across Western Washington, from Naval Base Kitsap to Joint Base Lewis-McChord to NAS Whidbey, military communities in cities, small towns and neighborhoods, and families are observing Memorial Day in deeply personal ways. Denise Whitaker reports, service and sacrifice.
For many Americans, this holiday marks the unofficial start of summer, but for anyone connected with our nation's military, Memorial Day is sacred. Over the next hour, you will hear from people whose lives were forever changed by military service and sacrifice. Young service members who carry the memory of brothers and sisters lost in combat and during training missions. A conversation about Jewish military burial traditions and the enduring meaning and honor after death. The USO Northwest gives us a reminder that there are still families waiting for answers about prisoners of war and those still missing in action. Right now, I want you to meet a young woman whose husband was killed in action. Lisa Hallett shares her incredible heartbreak. You'll also learn how she's ensuring the name Captain John Hallett will always be spoken aloud, along with the names of thousands of others who freely gave their lives to protect the foundation of your freedoms.
I received the news that no military family wants to hear. My husband, my best friend, and the father of our three children had been killed on his way home from a Goodwill mission.
Captain John Hallett, just 30 years old, killed in action without meeting his youngest child, Heidi, born just 3 weeks earlier.
John and three other soldiers had been attacked by an improvised explosive device after delivering medicine to a village.
What did you go through at that time?
It's so abstract to lose a loved one in a land overseas, to not be there with your best friend who you share everything with.
Lisa's heart first belonged to John way back in grade school.
Yeah, I knew John. I always say that we made it through some very awkward years. He had peg pants. I had a mullet. So as you can imagine, the rest was history. We did grow up together in Northern California. We eventually found each other and fell in love. We were able to embark on this really special journey that we call military life.
And that was his choice, and you went right with him.
Yes, John went to the United States Military Academy, West Point, and he graduated in 2001. And John and his classmates really only knew a post-9/11 military experience. And so we were quickly introduced as a military family and a life really marked by post-9/11 combat service.
From those very early days in her husband's military career, Lisa Hallett found running helped her stay balanced.
It was how I had always navigated the challenges of military life. John would deploy, I'd sign up for a race, we'd move to a new location, I'd find a local running club. Movement gave me something tangible that I could use to call my own and to move forward.
3 years into his career, John and Lisa married. 3 weeks later, John left on his first deployment to Iraq. He was gone for 14 months.
He came home and we continued on that military journey. And so we went from Schofield Barracks to Fort Benning, Georgia, to Fort Polk, Louisiana. And we eventually landed in DuPont, Washington at what was then Fort Lewis.
That's where John Hallett joined the 5-2 Striker Brigade combat team.
John took command in November 2008. And then the following summer, John and his unit deployed to southern Afghanistan. We had a 3-year-old, we had a 1-year-old, and we had a little girl who was on her way.
She was heartbroken and will never forget the day when she got the news Captain John Hallett was killed in action.
You know, John was killed August 25th, 2009, and it was this beautiful sunny day. And I remember being so mad that the day was so beautiful when my heart was so broken. I remember my friend Aaron brought me these 2 trays of pasta was when Heidi was born and 2 more trays of pasta when John was killed. Military family and communities around military families really do know how to show up in the best of times and the worst of times. And it's been an incredible gift to be just wrapped in the care of our Pacific Northwest military family.
Lisa had no choice but to continue being a mom to her newborn daughter and 2 sons.
I remember driving my oldest, Jackson, to preschool. Jackson was 3 years old, and I started crying. He started crying, and he says, "Mommy, stop crying. You're scaring me." And it broke my heart, but it made me realize that my children had already lost a parent to war. It wasn't fair for them to lose me to grief. So I turned to what I had always done, running. I found that as I ran, I could catch my breath. I could feel my big feelings. And then I could come home and be the parent that my children needed and deserved for me to be. And that's how running became this cornerstone.
Out of Lisa's running and movement came a new movement, Wear Blue, Run to Remember. It is now a national nonprofit that promotes healing and never forgetting those lost through movement and running.
I quickly became surrounded by the military community, and Erin O'Connor, the co-founder, all the military spouses, the community right here came together and they shared steps. We lost 41 service members that year, and we were all looking for a place to grieve, heal, remember, move forward.
Wear Blue, Run to Remember started with a Memorial Day run in DuPont more than 15 years ago, but now they sponsor runs nationwide.
I have been so blessed by the community that surrounds me, and I am humbled to be a part of a community who would never choose this walk for themselves. Since September 11th, 2001, we've lost over 26,000 service members, combat, training, service-connected illness, death by suicide. But each of these families and the men and women who served at their sides have incredible stories of courage, strength, and really enduring love. It has been deeply motivating and empowering to know that we belong to this community who remembers, that we get to bear witness to their strength, and that with each name of a fallen service member, we learn, I get to be fortified by their examples, their grit, their courage, their drive, that was just like John for me and for all of us.
The group's logo is the sole of a shoe with 41 stars for the 41 soldiers killed during the 5-2 Stryker Brigade's deployment to southern Afghanistan. For the fallen, for the families, for the fighting.
To just remember on Memorial Day, Wear Blue, Run to Remember has communities that meet throughout the year, creating a space for us to be healthy and active, to show our support for those who serve or have served, and to create a place where remembrance becomes a call to action for each of us every day to live inspired by the men and women who have given so much, the families and friends who served and loved at their sides. And this continues throughout the year because the 1% who serve have done so on behalf of the 99%, all of us. Is Memorial Day a day of sadness? And I would say it is a day for me of joy, a chance for me to look out across our nation and see that we are a grateful nation. I do not remember alone, and that John and all of our nation's heroes are living for one more breath and one more step in all who choose to remember.
16 years after her husband, John, died, their children are experiencing milestone moments without their father. Graduating high school, heading off to college. So I asked Lisa what she wants you to know about this time in their lives.
Grief is cyclical. We grieved when John was lost in those early days. But now each of these milestone years, my middle is graduating high school. It's such a powerful marker of all that John has missed. But there is a fear that my children are going out into this world that I no longer control. And I want them to always know that their father is remembered and that they are a part of a grateful nation. And so I rely on people to help carry this torch of remembrance and support.
We'll be right back with more of Denise Whitaker Reports, Service and Sacrifice. Denise Whitaker Reports, Service and Sacrifice.
A quiet tradition unfolds every Memorial Day across so many large and small towns in Washington. Students, mothers and fathers, families, scouting groups, veterans, fan out, flags in hand, walking row by row through cemeteries to stop and reverently place the stars and stripes at every gravesite dedicated to a man or woman who once wore the uniform of this country. But for those who served, especially for those who never made it home from war, these grounds carry an even deeper meaning. The Veterans Administration calls them hallowed ground, permanent shrines to courage, sacrifice, and service. places where a grateful nation remembers those who gave their lives so the rest of us could live ours in freedom. And on Memorial Day, those small flags become more than just symbols. They become promises that these Americans and what they gave for this country will never be forgotten. Those who answer the call to serve come from every race, religion, gender, and ethnicity. KVI talk show host Ari Hoffman, who is Jewish, has been working for years to also honor fallen service members.
Yeah, so in North Seattle here, there are several Jewish cemeteries from different branches of the Jewish faith, both the Ashkenazic, which is usually Eastern European, and the Sephardic, which is mainly Middle Eastern and Spanish-speaking countries. There are people who are buried there from the Spanish-American War. There are people who are buried there from the Civil War. In fact, a few years ago, when I had the kids from the synagogue out there who go out there every year for Memorial Day, they were looking for a headstone and it wasn't there. And they looked it up and they found out this was a veteran of the Spanish-American War. They took up a collection and Quiring Monuments, which does a lot of work also for Evergreen Washelli, which is across the street.
Right.
They helped out and they got a beautiful new headstone for that specific grave. Every year I take the kids over and I show them that students like them are the ones who found that this one was missing and they honored this veteran. And in the Jewish tradition, the idea of being able to help somebody who's dead is one of the greatest mitzvahs, good deeds you can do, because that person can never pay you back. So this is something that they did, that these kids did. And actually, I'm very proud that my two boys and my nephew were part of that group that did that.
KVI talk show host Ari Hoffman talking with me about the fight to preserve and honor the graves of Jewish veterans in Western Washington. Tell me more about your message in honoring Jewish and all veterans.
There's something that I think has been lost is that nowadays, a lot of people don't know people who served. When you and I were younger, we always knew somebody who served, and we always had relatives who served, and many of our friends served if we didn't serve, and a lot of people served. And that's rarer and rarer these days, and that's unfortunate. I remember my grandfather taught me flag etiquette, and he was in the U.S. Navy. He was actually stationed in Chicago towards the end of his career. He would always take me to the Great Lakes base that's out there, and we would always go out to the commissary, and we would go buy all the stuff, and he would always buy me the bell-bottom jeans, and I thought they were so cool, not realizing what a huge dork I was wearing those to school. He taught me everything about Navy etiquette, and he taught me you always respect those who serve. It's important to respect those who served so that we could have the freedoms we do, and many other people don't, and that so many people gave the last full measure of devotion so that we could have those rights.
And especially honor them after they're gone, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, these veterans have been buried in hallowed ground, and we don't ever want anything to come of that space. We want it preserved specifically for them, right?
Exactly. Now, you think about how we do Memorial Day in this country. Some of us go do the flag thing. Other people go see the latest Marvel movie. I'll just compare it to Israel for a second, because I'm Jewish. In Israel, they have Yom HaZikaron, which is the day before their Independence Day. And on Yom HaZikaron, they list all the names on their national news station. They list every name of every person who died in service of Israel. And a name pops up for a few seconds, then disappears. It takes an entire day to go through all those names. And everybody goes to the cemeteries that day. A siren rings out in the morning and everybody stops their cars on the freeways, stands up. Everybody, the whole country. My son this year, he's serving in the Israeli Defense Forces. He actually was stationed at a cemetery to help people find graves at a cemetery in the middle of nowhere because that's how many people go. That's their jobs. That's what they do. Now think about how we do it in this country. Okay, maybe we go to something on Memorial Day, but Sunday, barbecue. Saturday night, oh, long weekend, we can sleep in. It's a very different way, and I think that's kind of something that's gotten lost. Mm-hmm. You know, Veterans Day, very, very different. Veterans Day is about honoring those who are serving. Let's go to the parade. Let's July 4th, let's set off some fireworks. Memorial Day is about those who are no longer with us. And I sometimes really, really wish we got back to remembering what Memorial Day is for, not the latest blockbuster that's coming out of the theaters.
Taking a moment, no matter where you are, to pause and honor fallen heroes. I'm speaking with KVI talk show host Ari Hoffman. We are not at war, nor are we at peace. American service members have been killed in connection with the non-declared conflict with Iran.
Let's bring this closer to home for a second. So we lost some service members from JBLM in the most recent conflict with Iran. And I had somebody from a different synagogue reach out to me and they said, Ari, you do a lot of work in politics. Do you think we could do something to honor that family? And I said, well, let me find out. And I have to track down who that family is, because actually the synagogues, because this person was working with our ally Israel, want to do something to honor this person for not just serving America, but also helping our ally Israel. And they want to do some big thing for them. So actually, if anybody from that family is listening, please be in touch with Denise. So that way you could be in touch with me, because we would really like to honor them. Because look, we have members of our synagogue that serve at JBLM. We have members of our synagogue that have died serving this country, and we need to honor them because they gave everything they had for this country. And perhaps they died at an old age. Perhaps they didn't die in combat. But it's really something when you walk through the cemeteries, and interspaced with the graves in the Jewish cemeteries, you see those headstones that look like the Arlington headstones, right, those specific ones. Mm-hmm. And then you see the ages on them, and you see these young men who gone even before the prime of their lives, because they believe in America, because they believe in American exceptionalism, in the Constitution, in that, and they gave the last full measure of devotion.
Sometimes it's not easy to find these gravestones. When I was in Normandy, France, for the 75th marking of D-Day with my husband, when he jumped into one of the drop zones, we also went to the National Cemetery, because my mom has a distant cousin who is buried there. And it took a little bit of time, but they had people there to help us. And my mom asked that I find that gravesite for her and for the family. So I did, and I took pictures, and it's very special. Even though I didn't know that person, I know that they were there for our country.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. I didn't know that about you. See, yeah, we're getting to know each other a little bit more during this interview. And that's the thing where I hear stories from friends of mine. You know, a friend of mine was telling me about when he went to Iraq. A friend of mine was telling me about the cargo planes that were flying out of Afghanistan during the airlift, during the evacuation. Those were from JBLM. People forget about that. We had something amazing happen on air during the Afghanistan withdrawal. We had a man call my show. He was beyond overwhelmed because the bomb had just gone off at Abbey Gate. He knew his son was stationed there. He called my show in tears, crying and saying, "Can you help me find my son? I can't hear from him. I can't get a hold of him, nothing." And we actually reached out to the congressional delegation from here in Washington. And I think it was Jamie Herrera Butler. She found the son, and we were able to tell his dad that he was okay. I mean, we're very, very lucky. We played a small, little, teensy, tiny role in something like that. But you hear these stories all the time. If you don't feel comfortable going to a cemetery, go talk to somebody who served or somebody who lost somebody who served. Mm-hmm. Say a prayer. Maybe say the Pledge of Allegiance. Maybe sing God Bless America. Maybe sing the national anthem. Maybe put on a recording of Whitney Houston singing the national anthem from the Super Bowl.
In the days of war, uncertainty, sacrifice, and hope, few performances reminded Americans who we are and what binds us together more powerfully than Whitney Houston's rendition of our national anthem. Days after the start of the Persian Gulf War in 1991 transcended sports and helped unite the country in patriotism, support, and pride for troops heading directly into harm's way. Today, on this Memorial Day, in which we remember those who did not make it home, we are again reminded that ordinary Americans are so willing to do extraordinary things in service to their country.
You're listening to a Memorial Day special, Denise Whitaker Reports, Service and Sacrifice. Another half hour coming up. Thank you for joining us for Denise Whitaker Reports, Service and Sacrifice on Northwest News Radio and on Talk Radio 570 KVI. In the first half hour of this special Memorial Day tribute, we heard from Lisa Hallett, who lost her husband, Army Captain John Hallett, in 2009. Out of Lisa's healing through running, she created Wear Blue, Run to Remember, a national nonprofit that promotes healing and never forgetting those lost through movement and running.
Even those first runs, I quickly became surrounded by the military community, and Aaron O'Connor, the co-founder, all the military spouses, the Riordan Detachment, the community right here came together and they shared steps. We lost 41 service members that year, and we were all looking for a place to grieve, heal, remember, move forward.
What started as a Memorial Day run in DuPont, Washington, more than 15 years ago, is now a nationwide movement.
And I am humbled to be a part of a community who would never choose this walk for themselves. And since September 11th, 2001, we've lost over 26,000 service members while wearing the uniform of our nation. And that's in combat, training, service-connected illness, death by suicide. But each of these families and the men and women who served at their sides have incredible stories of courage, strength, and really enduring love. I get to be fortified by their examples, their grit, their courage, their drive, that was just like John for me and for all of us.
Denise also sat down with KVI's Ari Hoffman to learn more about how he and his synagogue honor the fallen, discussing Ari's dedication to the Jewish cemetery in North Seattle.
Those cemeteries date back a very long time. There are people who are buried there from the Spanish-American War. There are people who are buried there from the Civil War. In fact, a few years ago, when I had the kids from the synagogue out there who go out there every year for Memorial Day, they realized that they were looking for a headstone and it wasn't there. And they looked it up and they found out this was a veteran of the Spanish-American War. The headstone had gotten broken or missing or whatever happened. And actually, they took up a collection and they got a beautiful new headstone for that specific grave.
In this next half hour, Denise Whitaker takes us to the USO Northwest Lounge at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, where she speaks with active service members about how they honor those they've lost. Also in that USO Northwest Lounge, Denise shares about a solemn and symbolic tribute, the Missing Man Ceremony, also known as the Fallen Comrade Table. Now, with more of Service and Sacrifice, Denise Whitaker reports.
There are many ceremonies and parades on this Memorial Day all throughout Western Washington, in addition to flags placed beside headstones. Perhaps there's even one waving at your home. But for veterans, remembrance can be far more personal. Sometimes it's the memory of a laugh in the barracks, a voice over the radio, a seat at the table suddenly left empty. Not every loss happens on a battlefield. Some come during training missions, others deployments, and the dangerous work service members face every day, long before the public ever hears their name. Fortunately, there are many veterans organizations offering help for those who need it when they need it. One of those is the USO Northwest at SeaTac. This is where I met and chatted with some young service members and their families, reflecting on those they've lost far too early. Adam Bertram is in the Marines, a helicopter pilot, until a serious injury took him out of the air.
Aviation, especially Marine Corps naval aviation, has hazards of its own over water, training.
Adam survived. He is now a drone pilot for the Marines, but others he served with did not.
Basically, just, you always get told that it's going to happen, and then it does, and you never get used to it. We've lost several people now, been very close proximity to it, and it never gets easier. It's definitely, it weighs heavy on the heart, to say the least. It lives with you.
The losses not only hit Adam hard, but also his wife, Abby, who hadn't shared her true stress and worry about her husband's job flying helicopters until after he started piloting drones.
It is complicated, to say the least, especially with two toddlers running around, and I'm in school doing my master's degree and everything else, so it is definitely complicated, and we're just excited when he's home. When he's home, it's the best, because he gets to be dad and husband and not service member when he's home. So
you're juggling a lot when he's not home, and on top of the physical and mental, you know, capacity you need to handle the toddlers and everything else that's happening, is there also a sense of worry every time he leaves to go?
Absolutely. I mean, there's always things that are happening at the bases. There have been times where he's texted me like, don't worry, I'm good, I'll talk to you later, and it's like, oh no, what happened? So it's that constant.
Abby and Adam Bertram talked with me while they were waiting with their two little ones for a flight to Hawaii, taking the first real vacation they've had in years. Away from the base, They will mark this Memorial Day with special thoughts and happy memories of the service members they've lost. Adam tells me he and his buddies even created some rather unique ways to remember them.
Even like two of my friends, there's a workout that they built for them. And we typically will do it on Memorial Day and then October, the day that they had their mishap. So just things like that. It comes through, and you might not think of it. You know, Memorial Day is for everyone else in the world, like cookouts and everything else, which is good. I'm not going to be like people always say, like, oh, you shouldn't do that. It's like, no, it's the whole point of doing this. And so, like, in the moment, you might not be thinking, but, you know, you see memorials and everything else. Now, in my more recent unit, I'm kind of apart from the man side, so it's not as common to lose people, but yeah, most of my buddies that were there will message each other, or around each other, we'll get together kind of thing, just kind of reminisce and kind of be there talking about our buddies that we lost. So.
Another service member, Warrant Officer 1, Josh Osteen, also waiting on a flight, but not headed on vacation. He's headed to his new assignment with the U.S. Army.
So I'm an automotive maintenance technician. So within a motor pool in a unit, I am the sole person in charge of that motor pool. So I'm in charge of all of the mechanics, making sure that they're working on the vehicles, same as our ground support equipment, so AC mechanics, generator mechanics. With clerks, I make sure they process parts, turn parts in to get the military money back, in charge of inventory for all of our parts and stuff like that. So okay. I run the entire shop, make sure that the regular officers understand the enlisted part and everything too.
Josh Osteen joined the Army in 2015. He's had several deployments since then. Unfortunately, a number of people he served with killed in action during those assignments. So how does he remember them, and what are his thoughts this Memorial Day?
Just think about the legacy that they left for. Think about their families that are still behind. And just cherish the memories that you made with those people.
And especially their families, right?
Their families,
so on
yes.
Memorial Day, a lot of people don't feel like they should say anything if they know, you know, they're encountering a person who's lost a loved one in the line of duty.
I mean, I would say what your heart says. Obviously, if you don't know someone that well and you've never really talked to them, maybe it's best to just say appreciate your family service or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, definitely have that boundaries when it comes to certain things, because some families don't like talking about it. Some families love talking about it. So it's just know what you know and speak what you speak.
Knowing what to say in a time of tremendous loss is never easy. Both of these men in their 30s have already suffered the heartbreak of losing special friends and colleagues, yet they each continue serving their country. I asked Adam Bertram and his wife, Abby, to elaborate more on ways they remember their special friends and how the rest of us can support the families of those killed in action.
I think everyone has their own opinions. Mm-hmm. Some people very more solemn. I'm just, enjoy your life, enjoy being an American. Like, you have the day off, go out and have barbecues, celebrate. If there is someone that you know that's needs to be memorialized, keep them near their mind and say a prayer for those that, you know, might not be having a good time. But I don't think it should necessarily be, there's a place for solemnness and there's a place for celebration of life, and that's kind of go celebrate, go be, do the thing. I see now in the age of social media, people always putting down, like, you know, oh, you're out cooking burgers and having beers, like, how dare you? I'm like, no, it's not the whole point, but it's something that we get to enjoy as American citizens.
Well, and I think also, too, just going to say thank you. If you see veterans that are out at the parades or the barbecues or the get-togethers, just the acknowledgement of thank you for your past service that you have been able to provide. And, you know, just, again, being the inclusivity of, you know, all veterans are important, active duty, veteran status, no matter what you've done, if it was for 3 days or if it was for 30 years, like, everyone did their part and sacrificed something in order to serve.
A gentle reminder there that these men and women choose to serve. Josh Osteen, now 11 years into his Army career, continues with pride.
I love my job, I love my country, and 8 more years till I retire, but probably going to do more than that just because I love the Army.
For that, we are grateful. For those who have never served, Memorial Day may feel distant, just a holiday on the calendar, a long weekend, a ceremony, just happening once a year. But for those you just heard from, today's remembrance has faces, voices, and names clearly attached. Friends they still think about. Friends they dearly miss. Friends whose stories continue to live on in the people who served beside them. That really is one of the deepest meanings of Memorial Day. Not only mourning those we lost, but refusing to let them be forgotten. Their service mattered, their lives mattered, and their memory endures.
The final segment of Denise Whitaker Reports, Service and Sacrifice, coming up. Thank you for joining us for Denise Whitaker Reports, Service and Sacrifice.
On this day of honoring those killed in action, we also remember those missing in action. More than 81,000 American service members are listed as MIA from World War II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War. It was just after Vietnam that the Missing Man Ceremony, also known as the Fallen Comrade Table, was created as a solemn and symbolic tribute. You may have seen this at military dinners or other ceremonies where a full-dress service member carefully sets a table for one.
A lot of USOs, not everyone, have the table, and it's just and representative of those POWs and MIAs that kind of gave their all. And we actually want the families to know that we're never going to forget about them, right? And I think that's really the most important thing, is when someone comes in and they have someone who is a POW or MIA, they're like, wow, the USO actually has that up 24/7, and that's an important part.
Sitting with USO Northwest Executive Director Don Langang, I asked him to explain the symbolism of each item used to set it.
The single chair, it represents just that POW, the MIA. The white tablecloth that's draped around it, it remembers the purity of the military person that served. There's a single red rose, which is for the bloodshed of the veteran or the POW MIA. There's a glass that's inverted, which means we won't put any drink in it because they're not dining with us today. There's a yellow ribbon that you used to see it around the trees and things. We have it on the table, so it's the hope that they will always come back, right? There's a slice of lemon on the plate, which is remembrance of the kind of the bitterness of them leaving, and that we hope that they'll eventually come back. There's a lit candle that reflects the hope of the missing, that they could come back. Sometimes the table is round, symbolizing our concern for that military person and that they've left us. But when you have something that's round, it's, you know, it never stops, right? So you almost never forget about them. And so I think it's something that when you see it every day, it's just really, it's a great reminder of all the military that come through here. But then the POW and MIA, it's just, they really gave the ultimate sacrifice, because not only possibly if they're missing, but if they're a prisoner, and probably how harshly they were treated. And so we as Americans should never forget that.
With or without a table setting, Memorial Day is certainly a time to reflect and honor those missing in action, held as prisoners of war, or killed in action. As I close out our time together, I hope you carry forward the voices you've heard. Voices of service and sacrifice, of friendship forged in danger and devotion. You heard from those who train side by side and deploy shoulder to shoulder with service members just as dedicated as they are, yet who gave the ultimate sacrifice, all of them displaying unwavering courage. You heard from those who stand watch on the home front, their neighbors, communities, the USO, providing that care that is a force multiplier. Memorial Day is not an answer. It is a promise. It is the promise that we will remember every name, tell every story, and live in a way that honors the gift we have been given. It asks each of us to be worthy by showing up for the living, tending to the wounded, and choosing service in whatever sphere we occupy.
And remember the families, especially those like Gold Star wife and mother Lisa Hallett, who honors the legacy of her husband, John Hallett, killed in action just weeks after their third child was born.
There's not a day that goes by that we don't wish John was here, especially these significant milestone moments in our family. But in this journey of losing John, we have been blessed to be on the front lines of a grateful nation. We have seen the kindness of strangers, the support of neighbors. And even within this, it has been powerful to bear witness to the courage, grit, conviction, and enduring love of our surviving families who endure, continue in life-affirming ways every day.
Grateful for others' sacrifices, let's remember them and strive to be kinder, more courageous, more committed to one another, knowing that the truest memorial is a life that reflects the best of those we've lost. These Memorial Day stories are not about politics. They are about people, about duty, about loss, about service, and about the promise that those who gave everything for this country will never be forgotten. Across Western Washington, military service is woven into the fabric of our communities. We witness aircraft carriers and submarines moving off our shorelines. We hear jets overhead. We drive along convoys and see the uniforms in cafes and ferry lines. We live beside bases that send men and women around the world and sometimes do not bring them home. Some names are spoken every day, around dinner tables or campfires, in folded letters pulled from drawers, at cemeteries where fresh flowers appear year after year. Some names are carried silently. Today, we remember them all. Denise Whitaker, Northwest News Radio.
Thank you for listening to Denise Whitaker Reports, Service and Sacrifice, on Northwest News Radio and Talk Radio 570 KVI. We'd also like to express our gratitude to the voices you heard in this hour of stories. To Lisa Hallett, remembering her husband, Captain John Hallett, who was killed in action while serving with the 5-2 Stryker Brigade Combat Team August 25th, 2009. To Talk Radio 570 KVI's Ari Hoffman for sharing how he and members of his synagogue honor fallen service members. Thank you to United States Marine Adam Bertram and his wife Amy. To Army Warrant Officer 1, Josh Osteen. And to the USO and USO Northwest Executive Director, Don Langing. As we all remember those who've made the ultimate sacrifice for our nation, we hope you and your family have a safe and meaningful Memorial Day.